Hello everyone, thanks for coming. As she introduced, my name is Asad Khan. I'm a Principal Program Manager on HD Insight. This is the Azure Big Data Service, and today my intent is to give you a quick overview of what we offer, what services we have in Azure which covers the big data space, and then go a little deep on some of the areas. If people have questions, feel free to stop me, ask me. I want to make sure that people get what they came for this presentation. So a quick check, like how many people actually know about the big data technologies like Hadoop, Hive, HBase, and those things? Okay, good. And like how many are actually using it in their companies? Okay, so I have a good mix. Like some part of my talk initially in the first 20-25 minutes is more about an overview of where we are, and then I go deep, and then I have a few demos to show you what Microsoft has done in that area. Okay, so let's get started. Okay, so anyone who has been in the IT would recognize the current shape of the IT deployments in the big enterprises. If you look at it, most of that is that you have a single database, a warehouse, and from different data sources, the data is done the ETL where you extract and then load it into the database, and then that is the single view of truth on top of the data that your enterprise has. But over the years, like as Gartner also pointed out, that we are hitting a tipping point where this is failing in many areas. And if you look at it, the number one thing is that the volume of the data is increasing. The volume of the data, as we all know, is increasing like 10x every year. And as more and more data is generated, it becomes really hard to go and use the traditional data warehouse technologies. And that was one of the key reasons why people started to talk about the big data. Beside the volume, the other one is that a lot of people are interested in the real-time analytics. Like we work with a lot of companies, whether they have their online presence or even if they are selling stuff in store. And in both cases, the number one key things, the number one question that comes up is like, how can I get my data insight earlier? How can I get it within hours? As soon as the customer goes in and buys something, how can I know what happened? Or if I'm in the IoT business, if my device is failed, how can I figure out earlier so that we can react in time? Like recently, we started working with a big trucking company, and what they are doing is that they are putting these sensors in all the trucks across US. And what happens is that as soon as there is any failure, actually even before the failure happens, as soon as they detect that something is going wrong, they are able to go and react, and they can send message to the driver on their cell phones. They can go and even turn off the engine in certain cases if they feel that the failure could be drastic. So real-time analytics is a big area. The third one is that the new type of data which is coming in. If you look at, people are interested in taking the images, people are taking all the log files that are generated from the internet, all various type of data sets are coming in. And in these cases, like the traditional SQL-like approach does not work very well. Because in the SQL world, what happened was that you have to go in first and define the schema in which the data will fit in. In many cases, you don't know the schema. In many cases, the formats are very, very different. And in those cases, the traditional data warehouse starts to break. The last one is that the cloud presence. For most of the enterprises, especially in the top tier, if you go and look at it, what they have is that they have the on-prem installation of the data warehousing. But what happens is that if the data is born in the cloud, then your network security layers and all of that does not apply to the data which is in the cloud. So now the question becomes, should I go and take all the data which is even in the cloud and move it back into on-prem so that I can integrate with my on-prem database systems? Or should you create a second data warehousing technology and the whole entire stack in the cloud. And these are the some of the questions where like the big data technology starts to come in and play. So if we go and look at it, the traditional data warehousing is here, and it is here to stay for a while. It's not that people are coming in and replacing their entire data warehousing with a totally different stack. But what we are seeing is that a second stack is coming to come up. And this is the big data Hadoop-based stack, which works in parallel with what you have in your traditional data warehousing. And in Microsoft, basically what we offer is that we have the SQL Server, which continues to be our flagship offering for the data warehousing. And then we have the Hadoop, which we have partnered with Hortonworks. How many people know about Hortonworks? Okay, so basically for people who don't know, Cloudera and Hortonworks are the two leading companies who offer Hadoop as a basically on-prem installation, and they provide the support for that. Both companies, majority of these people came out of Yahoo, where the Hadoop was actually originally built. And so what Microsoft did was that Microsoft has a very, very close partnership with Hortonworks, and we take Hortonworks distro, and then we offer it as a fully managed service in the cloud. And that is what Microsoft's strategy is for the big data at this point. So the team which I represent is the HD Insight team. HD Insight is the big data offering on Azure. And as part of that offering, we provide you Hadoop, the 100% open source Hadoop, which is the distro, as I mentioned, is taken from the Hortonworks. And we provide it as a fully managed service. What that means is that you can come in and you can say, I need a 100 node cluster, or I need a 500 node Hadoop cluster, and we will spin it the cluster for you in 15 minutes, and from there on it is a fully managed service. You can go and run any workload that you need on top of it, and we guarantee that we provide you an SLA of 99.9% uptime, which means that if there is even a node goes down or there is some issue, before you find out, actually we find out, because we have our runners, our test suites, everything running, and we have instrumented everything on the cluster. I think that is one of the top reason why people are coming to Azure and using Hadoop over there, because if you look at it with these big data systems, the number one problem which people have is, how do I spin up the cluster? How do I manage it? How do I know that if something has gone wrong? So this is one of the reasons. There are a few other reasons I will get into. At this point, people have any question or anything they want to ask? Great. So as part of the Hadoop, Hadoop itself is a big, big platform. Hadoop is like, in the analogy would be, it's like Windows. Like, you can run a lot of things on top of it. What it provides you is the scale-out capability. What it provides you is the fault tolerance. And as part of the thing, what are the key assets which are available on Hadoop is the batch. So batch is that you take all of your data, you stick it in the Hadoop, in actually HDFS, which is the Hadoop file system. And then you can ask any question on top of it. The way people go and write queries, the number one way is Hive. You can also use Pig, or you can go the traditional way, which was the MapReduce. MapReduce is originally what Hadoop came up with. And over time, MapReduce was harder to write. And then the people introduced Pig and Hive, which are more SQL-like syntaxes. So batch is a big workload. Even in HD Insight, if you look at our customers, most of our customers today are batch users. And you will find a variety of use cases. We work with the government, and what they do is that for all of their taxes, they go and upload the forms in HDFS, which are in XML. And then on a continuous basis, they go and they figure out if they need to go and raise any red flags, if they want to go and further analyze, even if they need to figure out the revenue and all of that. At the same time, you will find a very, very different use case where there are online companies who are, let's say, in the area of selling apparel or any other things. And what they do is that they take all the log files which are coming in, and then they stick in HDFS. And at a later point, they can go and write Hive queries on top of it. So there is a big spectrum in terms of the usage if you go and see how Hadoop is used for batch. NoSQL is a way where you need very, very fast, low latency access to your data. And I will go deep on each one of these boxes, but the example would be that, oh, I want to go and, like, let's say if you take the example of Google or Bing, what they will do is that they will go and stick in all the URLs and the indexes and the keywords, and then if you ask for something, they can retrieve that information very, very fast. Similarly, if you go and look at the Facebook messaging, Facebook messaging was actually built on HBase. So there are millions and millions of users out there who will go and access their messages, and the data is actually coming out of the HBase. And then you have the streaming scenarios. Streaming scenarios is the real-time analytics area. As I said, like, it is very, very common in the IoT area where people want to go and figure out if something failed. This is very common in the website design. Actually, like, I think like last year, Alibaba or I think one Baidu, they did a very good presentation in terms where they showed how they are using Storm on Hadoop to go and figure out how people are buying stuff on their website. They were actually able to go and use machine learning, and they said like they figured out that if someone goes and buy cookie, they actually go and look at two cookie brands before they decide that they will buy a cookie. But if they are going and buying a computer, of course it's a bigger decision, more money is involved, so they will go to seven different brands or different models before they decide that they will go and buy the computer. So what they did was that they said, like, now we know a threshold for every product when the person is about to buy the product. So what they did was that, especially in case of laptops, they said, like, we figure out that the guy is on the seventh try, and they will go and show advertisement which are very, very specific to that computer or the model that guy is interested in. So now they have personalized the website totally. It's not like you have random pop-ups coming up. They are analyzing the data as the data is coming in, and as you are browsing the website, and based on that, they change what they show you on the page, which is pretty amazing. Like, you need to have like second or millisecond of the latency before you can get to that accuracy. This is just an example. Like, we work with a big IoT company. They go in and they install the windmills and air conditioning for enterprises, and they have streaming built in. And what they do is that they keep getting all the signals, and as they see that there is some anomaly in the signals which are coming in, they can go and notify the technician who is in the closest region geographically, and they can go and fix the problem before it happens. So there are really, really amazing in terms of the use cases which people are going and building on top of the Hadoop or any big data system. Then, as I said, like, Hadoop is a big platform. You can go and find Mahout. Mahout is the library, the machine learning library. You can have Uzi. You can have Spark. Spark is a big and upcoming big data workload and another platform which is getting very, very popular these days. The key thing that we differentiate ourselves on Azure as compared to others is that, first of all, we run everything which is open source. So this is not a Microsoft proprietary thing. But at the same time, we have made sure that we integrated really well with the Azure and other assets, whether it is Power BI or Office, or either it is the like Event Hubs, which is the queuing service from Microsoft. So we provide all that integration. The second is that, as I mentioned, it is fully managed, so you don't have to go and worry about managing the cluster. The third is the architecture. So what we have done is that if you go and buy or install any on-prem Hadoop, the data and the compute is like where you actually run your algorithm, are co-located, which means the data is in the disk, and of course the compute is run on the computer. What that means is your cluster is always up and running, whether you are running the query or you are not running the query. But in our case, what we have done is that the data storage, which is the HDFS, this is not in the compute. This is all in the Azure storage, which is your blob store. And again, like thanks to the competition, like this is the lowest cost per gigabyte or terabyte you can get anywhere, whether you like these are all cheap, whether you are on Amazon and you are in S3 or you're on Azure and you are on the blob store, this is the cheapest way to go and store your data. So now all your data goes in HDFS, which in our case is the blob store, Azure blob store. And only when you want to go and run a workload, you spin up the cluster. So the advantage is that even if your workload requires a 500 node cluster, you only spin it for the time when your query is actually running. And all our big enterprise customer, they follow the same pattern, which is they will come in, they will keep sticking their data in the blob store, and the data is keep gathering there. When they need to run a query, they will go and spin up the cluster, whether it's a 100 node or 300 node cluster, and then they run the query, and then they bring it down the cluster, the data goes back with the results in the blob store. This is the number one way where people are going and saving the cost of running these big data systems. Any question? So yeah, that's a good question. Basically, Stream Analytics, I'm not sure. Okay, so the question was, why should I use Storm versus using Stream Analytics? So are people familiar with Stream Analytics? So for people who are not familiar, Stream Analytics is Microsoft proprietary solution for streaming solution, which is again real-time analytics. And in some cases, there is definitely overlap. But where we see the difference is that the scale and ease of use. Stream Analytics is much easier to use. I don't know if you have seen it, but you can come in, you can type your SQL query, and you get the result. In terms of the flexibility that it provides and the scale it provides, Storm is where people go and choose. So if it is ease of use and it fulfills your scenario, I think Stream Analytics is a great solution to go and use. When it is that your solution is becoming more complicated, like for example, Stream Analytics only allows you to read data from HDFS or blob or SQL or Event Hubs. Whereas Storm, you can go and read data from anywhere, whether it is MongoDB, whether it is Cassandra, where you are putting the data in HBase. So in terms of the flexibility, it is much more flexible. The second thing is that it is many times the preference of the companies. They say, like, we only take a bet on something which is open source. Because tomorrow, I don't know, if I will run my workload on Azure, I will go to AWS, or I will go somewhere else. So if the preference is I want to just take a dependency on open source, we have seen that people go and pick up Storm in that case. Any other question? Okay. So this is a little more deep down in terms of, like, I just took one of the every of the workloads which I talked about and went in detail. As I said, like Hive is the query language more often used these days. In the earlier days, people used to use the MapReduce. Now, still there are companies who are writing MapReduce because it gives you more control and you can write your custom code more easily in that. But Hive is more commonly used these days. And the big difference between a relational store, people who are familiar with the relational, and the Hive and the big data is that whether the schema is at write or the schema is at read. So if you are familiar with SQL, what happens is that when you are writing your data, before that you have to define the schema. You say, I have a table which has a key column, it is of type int or long, I have these five columns, this is like string, this is, you define, or varchar, you define all your columns and you can define your data structure. And then you go and write your data. With big data system, what happens is that when you are writing the data, you don't care about the schema. Whether it is a CSV file which is comma separated, or whether it is like the delimiter is a space or anything, you don't care. You go in and you just keep writing your data. It could be just images, it could be binary, it could be anything. You just go and store the data. And if you're on Azure, you keep storing data in the blob store. So in many of the cases, actually, people don't think about big data when they are writing the data. In many years, when they have petabytes of data in the cloud, then they say, I can go and get a lot of insights out of it. And that's where they come in, and they will go and define the schema. So you can, in Hive, you can go and say create table, and then you say create table from where. So you give the location of your files, which is like folder directory hierarchy. Then you say what is the format of that file, and then you say is it comma separated, semicolon, like space separated, and then you have created the table. At that time, you have defined the schema. Once you have defined the schema, you can go in and write pretty much any SQL query that you can write in the relational world. So the pattern actually changes a lot, where when you are storing the data, you don't know what questions I will ask, and you just store the data. When the time comes where you want to go and get any insights out of it, then you go and start writing the queries, and before that, you define the schema. So the schema is on read rather than schema on write. Any question? So the second one, as I said, is HBase, and HBase is the new NoSQL store. If you look at it, it is like a big table, and if you look at the Google Big Table, which originally came up with the paper on which HBase was built, these are all very similar technologies. Whether you look at the Google Big Table or you look at HBase, what happens is that you define a table schema. You define an index on which you will go and look for the data, and then you can define the columns. And at that point, like, you can start writing the data at a very, very fast rate, and you can read the data at a very fast rate. Like some of the examples which we have seen, people have like petabytes of data, and they are doing millions and millions of transactions every minute. They run in many cases their apps in their or their websites on top of HBase, and the key reason they pick HBase is the low latency, because every result that you query is you get it in milliseconds. So this is a very, very powerful technology and an offering in the Hadoop ecosystem. Last one, I already covered a little bit about Storm. This talks about how the architecture looks like. If you go look at the extreme right side, basically this is the data which is being generated. You get the data into the cloud through some sort of the gateway. It lands in a queuing service, and from there the Storm ingests that data. In the Storm, you write topologies, which is the way you define how your data is processed. And from there on, once you have processed the data, you can push it into the real-time dashboard, or you can go and build the more trend analysis on top of any persistent storage, which could be SQL, HBase, Cassandra, MongoDB, anything you like. This is another way to go and show what I talked about end-to-end. You have your data coming in, which could be your IoT devices, your web logs, from your traditional data warehouse, like whether it is a transaction actually happening in the store. From there on, you go and you collect the data through the gateway. Through the gateway, it comes in and to the queuing service. What Microsoft offers is event hubs. You can also run Kafka. Kafka is the most commonly used open source queuing service out there. From there in, you can come in, you can use Storm, the Storm from HD Insight, or you can use the Stream Analytics, as I mentioned. In many cases, people are using Azure ML to score their data which is coming in. So basically, you can say like, what is the chances of failure? Should I go and take some action? All of that can be done through your machine learning models. And then from in, you go and you store the data in some persistent storage if you need, or you push it directly into the live dashboards. The one important thing to note is that in many of these cases, it's the full loop. So you get the data, let's say from your IoT device, you did all of this processing, and in many cases, if there is a failure which you think can happen, you send a notification back to the device. In that case, you will send it back to the queuing service, which will send it back to the device from there where the message actually came. I want to show you one actual example. So this is the project which we are doing with Toyota. They came and talked about this project on stage at the Strata last year. And what they are doing is, like, later this year, I think in their Lexus brand, they will go and introduce this thing where they have their sensors installed on all the cars. And from that, like, all the time or at a given periodic time interval, the data is being uploaded into Azure through the gateway. Once they get the data, they go and do the reference data. And in this case, what happens was that they have a document store where they have the information of every car which is installed with these devices. So when the signal comes, the signal has some ID, whether it could be VIN number or any GUID, where they say that they do a match based on that from the document store, and then they figure out that, oh, for this is the car of this model, this is the last time it was, the service was done on this car, this is the threshold for every device in this car, and this is the current temperature, and based on that they have written the business logic. And from the business logic, they figure out the outcome, and that is stored in the NoSQL store, and then the same is sent to a relational store for the BI reasons, and they send it to the live dashboard, and then the queuing service in case they want to notify the car. And again, this is a very, very simplified model of, like, what they are actually doing in their real-time analytics. In terms of the technologies, if you go and look at it, as I mentioned, they are using Event Hubs, which is the queuing service available on Azure. They use Apache Storm from HD Insight to do all of this processing. This is like, this makes like sort of the topology which I was mentioning. For the document store, originally they were using MongoDB. Now they are moving to DocumentDB. Then they are use HBase for NoSQL, SQL Azure, and then Power BI for their live dashboards. Any question? So let me quickly show you one demo. This is the one which we built for the trucking companies, and this uses the many of the technologies which I talked about. This uses HBase. This uses Storm. This uses Azure ML. And uses the Hive queries for deeper analysis. And in this case, what is happening is, of course, there are no trucks out there right now. But beside that part, everything is actually real, in the sense that once the event is generated, we push it into the event hubs. And from the event hubs, we have a Storm topology which pulls that data. It analyzes that data. We have the already trained machine learning models which goes and scores the data which is coming in, and then we have HBase where we store the data which actually runs some of the live dashboards that you are seeing here. So in this case, this mimics very closely to a few projects that we are doing. So what we did was that we took the same scenario, but rather than branding it with that company, we branded it with some fictitious name over here, and we put it out as a sample. So if people are interested, I can send you some links to this sample and how we wrote this code. In this case, what you look at it is that from the scenario perspective, these are all the trucks which are moving. I can go and look at any of the trucks. So if I click on it, it can give me more information about each of the trucks which are on the road. I can go and click on it, and I can see, like, in this case, the scenario is that I am the owner of the trucking company. We send send things all across the U.S., and some of them are very temperature sensitive. This could be fish or any meat or something like that. And what I want to make sure is that I am notified before anything goes bad. So this shows all the sensors that are installed on my trucks, and these sensors are gathering the data at every second and then uploading it to the cloud. And now I get the data and I can go and analyze it. So in my dashboard, what I can do is, like, basically I picked one of the trucks out there. I click on it and I can say, oh, this is the trailer cooling unit. If something is going wrong, I can go and see the trend. The current instance of the data is coming through Storm. HBase gives me the historical trend in terms of how how it has been behaving for last 15 or 20 minutes. If I want, I can go and even create the task. So if I say that, oh, create a, I can further look at the details. And if I think that something is critical, I can go here, I can say, create the ticket and confirm and notify the driver. When I actually click this button, if you have this app installed on your phone, you will actually get the notification. And the way we do it, as I said, this is the full loop. You get the information. Based on the information, you can make a decision. In this case, I say, I think I need to tell the driver that they need to divert this truck to the closest location or something, and I click on it, and this notification goes to the driver. So I can say divert the truck and confirm and notify the driver. At this point, the message is actually sent through the event hubs to the cloud to the device which anyone has who has installed will get the notification. So going back over here, some of the other things which we have integrated is that you can go and look at the weather. So this weather information is coming through the Bing API, the weather API. So at any given point, I can look at my dashboard. How is the weather? If there's a storm coming, I can click on those trucks. I can say notify, or I can say divert your location to, or divert your route to other road so that you can avoid the storm. Similarly, there's integration with the traffic. So if you go and zoom in on any of them, you can go and look at the traffic information on that truck. This is also coming live through the Bing API integration. Any question on the demo? Okay, so I will show you one more, basically which is more deep down in terms of how our tooling looks like and how actually you can go and write one of these. So in this demo, what I will show you is that although these are open source technologies, what we have done is that we have integrated it really well with our Visual Studio tooling. What it helps is that although you are using the open source technologies, but you are still working in an environment which you are used to. So you can, if you want, you can choose to use Eclipse or IntelliJ or any of the IDEs you want. But if you are more familiar with the Visual Studio, then you can go and do the entire programming in Visual Studio. So what I have over here is the Visual Studio 2013. And the one thing which you will notice is that if you go and have either VS 2012, 13, or 15, you can go and download the Azure SDK. And what that gives you is the view of all the clusters that you are running. So the way I got to these clusters is that I create, this is the Azure portal. How many people are familiar with or seen Azure portal? Okay, so Azure portal is one place where you go in to go and either spin up or monitor or delete or manage your on the cloud deployments. So if you go in here, you can see that I clicked on HD Insight. That's why I see the clusters which I created in HD Insight. But if I go to storage or SQL database, I will see all the assets that I already have in the cloud. And if I want to go and create a new entity in the cloud, what I do is, like I say, new, and I have compute in there, I have the data services, I have the app services, all of these. So if in my case, if I go to data services, you will see HD Insight. And as I said, like this is my team, HD Insight, and HD Insight is the big data workload on Azure. You can click on HD Insight, and in there you will see all the workloads that we offer. And these are some of the ones which I talked about. And let's say if I want to go and create a storm cluster, all I have to provide is that I say asadk-storm1. I give the give the storage name. At this point, I can choose between how big of the storm cluster I want. Let's say if I say two node cluster and I say create, at this point it will go and create the storm cluster for me, and within 15 minutes I have the storm cluster up and running. So once I have the cluster up and running, what I do is that I will go to the Visual Studio tools, and on the left I will go and see that one. So I have the AHBase cluster, I have the Spark cluster, I have the let me refresh. As soon as the cluster is ready, it will go and show up over here. The other thing is that if you want to go and write the code, the way you go and write it is that you can say file new. Just take a second to refresh. I can say file new project. And in there you will also see that there is an HD Insight entry over here, and you can go and write a Hive application or a Storm application in there. And what this allows you is that you will have, if you pick a Hive application, it will give you a canvas or an IDE place where you can write your Hive queries. You can debug your Hive queries, you can submit your Hive queries to your Storm cluster, the cluster which you see on the left. So in my case, let me create a very, very simple Storm application. And in my case, what I will do is that I will actually connect to the Twitter. And because for Storm, the fun part is that if you have some real-time data coming in, then it becomes more interesting because you can see what is happening right now. So I can either generate any random set of data, or I can go and connect to Twitter, because in Twitter, some data is always being generated. So. And for that one, we already have submitted a bunch of starting samples online. That helps you where you don't have to write a bunch of scaffolding code. So if I go and search for Storm, I will see that there is a Storm Twitter app. So I will go and pick this one. And what it does is that it will go and connect to Twitter. And of course, it will ask for my a developer key, which you can go and request from the Twitter website, developer website. And it will ask me that, okay, I get the data, I analyze the data, and I put it somewhere. And for that one, I have put a simple website, a simple canvas, where I've just pushed the data. So I put this website up, which is the plugfest.azurewebsites.net. So if you open it, it's a public website. I just created this for this demo. What I will do is that I will take all the tweets which are coming right now. I will go and analyze that with any business logic which I want, and then I will store it in a SQL Server, but I will also push it to the website so that you can go and see. So the first thing which I will do is that I will open the config file, and in the templates, of course, we leave it for you to go and fill in your Twitter consumer key and the Twitter access key. So I have that information which I got beforehand. I will cut and paste over here. So now this has my key information in the database and the website which I just showed you, which is the plugfest.azurewebsites.net. So now let me save it and close it. So we don't have time, too much time to go into the details of like how Storm works and how you actually write the topology. But as I said, like in terms of the terminologies, few things to know is that a topology is the entire program that you go and write in your for your Storm, which is a real-time application. Within the topology, there are two key things. One is the connector of where you are connecting to, which is called the spout. And then there is the actions which you go and perform on top of it, which are called bolts. So you have spout, which connects, you have bolts where you can do operations. Operation could be read reference data, write data to SQL, do a split of the stream, do a join, do a windowing function. All of those are operations which are done in the bolt. And spout is a connector, so your connector could be directly to where the data is coming from. It could be to Kafka, it could be to Event Hub. So in this case, the spout is going to the Twitter APIs and getting the data from there. So as I said, in this template, you will see one spout, and this spout is the is using the Twitter INVI, which is the C# client library for Twitter. So I downloaded this thing from the Twitter website, and in there, basically, you are pretty much following the instructions on how to use this client API from Twitter. In there, they say that you can go and define your filters. So either you can go and say, I will go and sample all the tweets. Of course, they don't give you all the tweets. They give you a sample of the tweets which are coming in. Or you can say, I can go and define the tracks or the keywords which on which I will go and search. So in there, we had put like Microsoft and Strata. We can go and change it to anything we like. I don't know if there will be any tweets on Plugfest or anything. Is there a Plugfest? Like we can say Plugfest or... Okay. That's another one. So at this point, it will go and download the NuGet packages which is need. And now it will go and look for Microsoft Plugfest or Plugfest 2015. I think most of the tweets you will see for will be for Microsoft. But if something comes up or someone tweets, we can go and see it. And as I said, like there are three bolts. So there is the sample bolt. It actually does not do much. It just leaves it there in case you want to go and write your own business logic. Let's say if you want to say that, oh, I want to only look for tweets which are in English, or I want to only look for tweets which are from a certain geographic location, you can go and write your business logic over here. Then I have one which is writing it into the SQL database, and again, for that, I'm just using the SQL client. And then I have one which is sending it to the website which I showed you, which is the SignalR website, which is over here. So as soon as I go and compile this topology and deploys it, it will connect to the Twitter and start getting the tweets which are happening right now. So the other thing you will notice is that traditionally what people do is like they compile their topology. They go and they even have to RDP into the cluster or use the REST API and deploy it. What we have done is that we have integrated everything into the Visual Studio. So if you go and click on the top link and you say and right click, the first thing you will see is that it says Storm submit to the Storm on HD Insight. I click on it, it will detect all the clusters that I have. I only have one which I deployed, which is the AssetK Storm cluster, and I say submit. So at this point, it will go and connect to my Storm cluster running on Azure, take entire my code base and deploys it over there and start to listen to the Twitter, which is all the tweets that are coming in right now. So it just takes a second to go and build the topology and submit it. Any question people have so far? So now the monitoring is also within Visual Studio, so it shows that your topology is submitted. If I refresh, I should be able to see some tweets coming in here. If I go to my website, as soon as this starts, the storm starts to run, you should see some tweets coming in over here, if everything works. No questions? Okay, let me see. So as you can see, it has read 80 tweets, but again, since they don't qualify the filter, they will not show up over here. Anything which is Microsoft or Plugfest will only show up over here. Let's give it another minute. Otherwise, you'll become more generic keyword. Okay.
So again, these are all the tweets which are happening right now. Again, it will go and look for anything which is Microsoft or Plugfest. As I said, like most of them are about Microsoft. So as I said, like it's a very, very simple use case. It's not even, doesn't even qualify as the big data, because the number of tweets are still like a few every seconds or something like that. But it shows you the end-to-end working and the tooling which we have. So I took the Twitter API, client API. I wrote a simple program in my Storm as a topology, and I wrote everything in Visual Studio in .NET. I submitted through my Azure Storm cluster sitting within the Visual Studio, and now I can see those tweets coming in live. So again, what we do normally is that right now I have a filter on Microsoft. If you remove the filter on Microsoft and then someone tweets over here for Plugfest, you can see the tweet coming in within seconds. Right now I think like there's so much on the Microsoft front that you won't be able to see if you tweet. Okay, so let me go back and finish a few of the slide decks. So this just shows you what I showed in the topology, that you have tweets coming in. I have the Twitter, I have the spout for Twitter, I have the Twitter bolt, I have the SQLite bolt, I have the SignalR bolt, and then you can go and see the tweets coming on the website. So just to wrap up in last 2 minutes, the key reason why people are going and using big data on the cloud is the economic reason. As I said, like the storage and the compute are separate, so it gives you a big advantage. It is the scale, in terms of you can go to any of the clusters that I showed you. You can go and then there is a tab which says scale. You click on it and then you can scale your cluster anywhere from a single node to hundreds of nodes as per your need. And the last is the geo redundancy. This is one of the key reasons like Toyota also prefer to run it in the cloud versus on-prem, because if they are deploying their own installation on-prem, they have to figure out in which location they will go and deploy. And of course, in their cases, they have cars all over the US and all over the world. So for them, the cloud gives them the big advantage in the sense that they can go and use the geo redundancy feature in the blob store, and they can deploy the cluster anywhere in the world they want. And at the same time, since we all Microsoft offers a fully 100% open source stack, they don't have to go and worry about where they're using any proprietary thing from Microsoft. I have some of the use cases I will skip because in the interest of the time. We are working with the Virginia Tech. They do a lot of DNA genome analysis. They load around 15 petabyte of data every year. And for them, it made much more sense to have all the data in Azure, in the blob store, and then use HD Insight for doing all sort of computes that they are doing. Otherwise, like their forecast was that they will be spending millions and millions of dollars just to go and buy the hardware in order to support that. The other one is that we have the our own Halo game, which is very popular. They have already sold 50 million copies in the Xbox division. They go and use HD Insight for deeper analysis. They use a lot of Hive and Pig to go and figure out if there is any fraud happening, where people are going and hacking the system and getting some fraud going on in the game. So as I started by saying, like basically we have Hortonworks, we have Microsoft, together we have a very, very deep partnership where we take the open source platform, we offer it as a service. We have done many of the projects with them. In one case, we put our developers, actually that developer came from the SQL area. He took all the techniques that SQL Server uses in query optimization, and we were able to reduce the query times very significantly by 10 to 100x. So these are the examples where not only we take what is available out in the market, but we also collaborate, and in many cases we go and submit back those changes which help the entire ecosystem out there. So that brings me to the end. I have 5 minutes. If people have any questions, I'm more than happy to answer. That's right. The question is that when I was showing the demo, I talked about like the code is deployed in the compute cluster, and yes, those are the compute cluster. And since that demo was very much about the stream real-time analytics, there is no data which is at rest. All the data was coming from the trucks actually. Yeah, so basically all the clusters which I was showing are actually so basically these are the clusters which I was using, right, in under HD Insight. So sorry, the screen is so these are the clusters which I was showing. This is my account in Azure. So this cluster is, some are in US, East US 2, some are in West US, some are in South Central. So Azure has a big footprint. There are 17 data centers across the world. So I choose where I go and deploy. But yes, those VMs are actually running in some data center and not on-prem. And then there are multiple ways to interact. As I said, like if you just install your Visual Studio and enter your key, your username and password, you can go and within Visual Studio, you can say right click and deploy to any of this cluster, because we have REST API, which we have through which you can submit and get the status. Or you can go and just directly use those REST APIs. Or in cases if you want to go and do some debugging or something, deep analysis in terms of what is going on the cluster, you can actually remote desktop to that cluster. So if I can go to any one of those and I can say that, oh, for example, for my Storm cluster, I can say in the dashboard, or I can say enable remote. So if I say that, it will enable a remote session for me, and now I can go and actually see what is going on the machine. Any more questions? Okay, thanks everybody for coming.